to the tune Gunung 699, hymn 1040. When we lay in sin polluted, wretched and undone we were, all we saw and heard was suited only to produce despair. Ours appeared a hopeless case, such it had been, but for grace. Hymn 1040.
Lord's help, I will further direct your attention to the Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. The Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In one sense, this is one of the most, if not the most important, text in the Scriptures. Because if we are wrong here, we will be wrong everywhere. If we think that we can be saved without God's grace, without faith in God, by means of our own personal advantages and abilities, then we shall be found to be wrong. It is a very solemn thing for anybody to be wrong, and therefore we have great need to appeal unto God continually, show me a token for good, some token of thy special love, show me that I am born of God and that my treasure is above. This morning we dealt a little in our meditations on the first of these verses, particularly the first clause, for by grace are ye saved through faith. We read it, but do we believe it? There's only one way in which we can believe anything, and that is when we come into a situation where the subsequent issue is so vital that we believe that salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is by grace, that grace is through faith. How important it is for us to consider then this evening, for by grace are ye saved through faith. It is one thing for us to consider and believe that we are saved by grace, but have we faith? Without faith it is impossible to please God. This is a very solemn word that the Apostle wrote to the Romans, but how true it is. But it never becomes more true and more important when it relates to our own salvation. If we just receive this verse as a matter of truth, as a theory, and yet not receive it into our hearts, because we see the necessity and also we realize that we must have a mediator. So then, Paul, by grace are ye saved through faith. The Apostle Paul was changed from trusting in his own works to walk having faith upon God that he might be saved by grace. I know that the Paul's experience is sometimes regarded as unusual, dramatic, and so on, but the same forceful points that came into the heart of Saul of Tarsus must come into your heart and into mine. Once we consider a verse like this and only receive it in a very trivial way, not really seeing the necessity of it, not really coming to grips that we're lost without it, then we shall not be very serious. We shall take it as an interesting point, and we might even go so far as to quote this if we were asked what our persuasions were. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Now you will find, say, two people both saying this word and yet feeling differently, how their inward repercussions will be tremendous. But if we are, say, lost sinners, if we feel that we cannot save ourselves, and we believe it, and we believe it because God has given us faith to believe. I know the Word of God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But who's going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? How many of us have been in the house of God, here and elsewhere, and perhaps we could hear these words, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, but they went over our head, they meant nothing to us. Why? Simply because we didn't feel lost. Simply because we were still, despite our being in the chapel this evening, dead in our sins, and were not quickened by the grace of God. We shall see, therefore, for by grace are ye saved through faith. A little farther on, or in this chapter, we also read that faith is the gift of God. God's gifts are tremendous. They're all valuable. They're not given to everybody. And maybe we shall think that we shall never receive them ourselves. But be assured, if God has called you, if your name is written in heaven, however extreme it may be, as you think, however far you may wander from the Lord, however deeply you may go into sin, however pursuing that sin you may come almost to your dying moments, yet nevertheless, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And so, we have the very well-known case of the thief that was on the right hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, and suddenly his eyes were opened, and he saw, for by grace are ye saved through faith. There doesn't seem to be anything proceeding from the Lord's lips that would be considered to be a sermon. It was the power of the Spirit. And though we may hear many sermons, and yet the power that convinces our souls and brings us to feel our need and appreciate the power, the riches of the gospel, will sometimes be quite separate from the sermons that may be preached. God is quite sovereign in his will and pleasure. But if it should come whilst the sermon is being preached, then this will impress you indeed, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And what does it mean? What is the corollary on this point? It means just this, that you're a lost sinner. Now, many people may say that they're sinners, but they're not lost sinners. They can manage very well. They can get on, generally, and they think they can get on with God. Now, let me not discourage any of you by saying this, but it will underline and underline again the importance of this word, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Oh, to believe. May seem strange to some that one of our hymns should say, oh, could I but believe, then all would easy be. And if we are in danger, if we are, so to speak, almost on the edge of a cliff which will throw us, if we go one more step, into a dreadful calamity, yet by grace are ye saved. And there are cases where some people have even been in that extremity, and by the grace of God they believed. Their body may have been destroyed in the fall that might subsequently take place, but they believed. They died resting on the Lord. They died believing that God would save, and no one else could save. So then, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. In other words, we cannot possibly produce this faith to believe in the grace of God And not only so, if we believe in the grace of God, we shall love the grace of God. And we shall give thanks for the grace of God. And we shall be deeply humbled as we realize that the God of all grace saw us ruined. And more deeply, the hymn that we have just sung goes into the detail of it. And it may be that some of you at some time or other have looked at that hymn 1040 and have felt there was so much force in it, so much which showed forth your incapability and your helplessness. But we're not called upon, though we may deeply feel it, to look to our incapability and to our inability. What does the Word of God say? The Word of God is, when ye see these things come to pass, look up, for ye know that your redemption draweth near. In other words, when you see these things, not just the things that are in the world, but the things that you feel in your own soul, and how you're walking on very, very uneven ground, and you see that you're going to in a pathway which fills you with fear, for by grace are ye saved through by faith, and that not of yourselves. So you come to the point, and people may say, you must believe. You must believe. And of course you must. But where's it coming from? Where's it coming from? Now, if we're sitting by the fireside, we can discuss these things without feeling very much distress. But if we're in danger, then it's a very, very different matter. A man may look at a woman or a child, of course, may look at a life belt which is hanging up on the seashore and not be disturbed. But if he was in drowning, if she was in drowning, in a situation, how valuable that life belt would be. And so people may look at the gospel of salvation and not be disturbed because they just are not in danger. They don't feel their danger. But when God brings us to feel our danger, then it is that reality strikes itself upon us. Lord, save or I perish. That was a word that came from the lips of a disciple that suddenly came into a desperate situation. And God does bring his dear children into desperate situations in order that he may seal upon their hearts the reality of their need, and also that he is able to save unto the uttermost. So, for grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. A solemn conviction, it is not of yourselves. Who can give us the gift? God's gifts are wonderful. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Well, a gift from God. Do you value God's gifts? We receive benefits from God. We perhaps think that we've got possession of them by our own ability. But you see, God will sometimes show us even the gifts that we have relative to our own vocations and so on. This is God's gift. Not everybody can follow the same vocation. And therefore, the people of God surely will acknowledge that God has given this gift. But that gift is not a saving gift. There are many gifts which God gives which are not saving. They're not relative to our own salvation. But here is a great gift referred to. It is the gift of God, the power to save, the power to believe, the power to believe that God will look down from the height of his sanctuary, from heaven itself, to look upon the sighing of the needy and the poor, and to save them. Now, what I'm saying to you must really be what you are feeling in your soul. Otherwise, what I'm saying to you will be nothing at all. But it is good when God's gospel comes into your heart, and you can endorse it. You could, if you thought it was the right thing, you could shout out your amen to this and that and the other. So may I ask you now, can you say to this great truth, for by grace are ye saved through faith, amen? Oh, that is the truth, and furthermore, so be it. If it was not so, I should be utterly lost. And so be it. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Now, the first gift, first point in the gift of God that we may mention is that gift which is a revelation of himself. There are many passages in the Old Testament under the law of God which revealed God as a God that was not to be trifled with, as a God that spoke and made people tremble when he did speak. I might direct your attention to this, which only you can answer. Have you trembled when God has spoken? Remember in the 19th of Exodus, the situation which is described to us when the law was given. The law was given. Now, the ten, amongst other things, the Ten Commandments were given. Have you trembled when you've read the Ten Commandments? Or have you just passed them by? I've said before, I know when I was at school, I learned the Ten Commandments is what we had to do in those days. I never trembled. I just thought it was something to learn. And the fact that solemn truth was displayed in those in the Ten Commandments, showing forth the holiness and righteousness of God, I never trembled. But you see, dear friends, if you never tremble before the holiness of God, then you will not be concerned to receive the gift of God of salvation. What shall I do, or whither flee, to escape the justice due to me? Not due to somebody else. It's when the searchlight, so to speak, moves and stops just where you are and highlights you as not just a sinner, but the sinner. It has been said that when the publican cried out, God be merciful to me, a sinner, it could be translated equally by the more definite article, the sinner. Now, perhaps you've come to God like that sometimes, and this, of course, is all between your soul and God. God be merciful to me, the sinner. It's not just now appearing before God in the general, as amongst other people, we're all sinners, you may hear people say, but now, the sinner. Remember, as the apostle wrote to Timothy, he says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He spoke that concerning himself, but how many people, how many of God's children have felt, I am chief? In other words, there's no one to be compared with myself according to my feelings. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now, the gift of God is a gift of revelation. A solemn thing it is to have the gift of revelation in the point I've already made, and that is that God is holy. Holy. and can in no wise look upon sin. How do you feel about that? If you feel that you're a sinner and God can't look upon it, yet what's to be done? Well, though God is holy, even the Father is holy, yet there was a means whereby a great gift was bestowed. And that gift was indeed the Lord Jesus Christ, his only beloved Son. We are familiar, many people are familiar with the words that we have in John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So you see, when the Lord Jesus Christ came upon this earth and died upon Calvary to put away sin, he also came with everlasting life. That is a great gift of God, to give you everlasting life. It is a solemn consideration that there is an alternative, and that alternative is everlasting damnation. It may be described as a living death. The people that are in hell, do remember it, they're not dead, but they're living a living death. They're hand in hand with death, and yet death doesn't destroy them. They come under the dreadful power of condemnation. We cannot begin to imagine what it must be like in hell itself. Just you think of some of the wicked people that we know being dreadful on this earth. If you go to hell, you'll be companions of those people. Some of the people that I might mention, I just think of Adolf Hitler for one. A dreadful man in every way. Are you agreeable to being a companion with him? And to be under a spirit that would appall you, and yet you are of the same spirit, and in hell they shall lift up their head as the dives did in the parable. I remember reading of a person that had a dream, quite an evident person, I can't just remember who it is, but in his dream he was taken round hell itself. And he came to one person, and he tells us what the person said. He said, there's no rest here. No rest here. You're on the go all the time. You're weary, and yet there's no rest. If we see this, and if we feel this, then the gift of God, what will it be? Well, accompanied by the gift here before us will be rest. Rest. The people of God, they enter into rest. The wicked enter into a place where there's no rest. No rest. I cannot convey the fullness of that to you by just mentioning it, but God can convey it to you. And in a sense, it will be one of his gifts. It will be a gift of conviction that there's no rest in hell. And it is not a matter of no rest for a time, because I think one of the eminent servants of God in the last century, he said, when a person has been in hell a million years, it's only just begun. It's only just begun. Now, of course, we can't imagine this. But thoughts are about hell itself, and are often used as a means, in a sense a gift from God, but to bring you to observe and to consider and to weigh up the real gift that God sent his own beloved Son into the world to save sinners. What a gift. How do you look upon Jesus Christ? You read through the scriptures, no doubt. And you read about his being born. You read about his young life, although not much is written concerning his young life. But eventually you read of his later life, particularly when he was 30 years of age and became more prominent in the preaching of the gospel and subsequently his crucifixion. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was not received. He is not received. So if you haven't received him, don't think that you're an odd person. Because when Jesus came into the world, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. So, don't think you're an odd person if you haven't received Jesus Christ. But I would impress upon you, you're in a solemn position. You're in a solemn position. Because if you haven't received him, then you must perish in your sins. But how will you receive him? Will you receive him? Because to your astonishment, he will receive you. People may speak about accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, but we do want to be certain that he has accepted us. And sometimes, though we may rejoice that Jesus Christ has been mindful of us and looked down upon us, oh dear, we may well say, will he look upon me? Will this grace come to me? Will this faith come to me? It cannot be produced by myself, out of myself, or because I have no attraction. Jesus Christ to me by nature has no attraction at all. And let us be honest with ourselves. It will not be sufficient for you to believe in a nominal Christ. You've got to believe in a Christ that died. And he died because he loved you. He died because it was the only way whereby you could be saved. He died to put away your sin. Now you see, that's not to be received in just an ordinary theoretical way. When to me that word's applied, is then it does me good. And when it is applied that God, the Father, has sent forth his only begotten Son into the world that we might be saved. Saved from our sins. Yes, that's only one side. Saved from our sins and brought into the company of the Lord Jesus Christ and spend the rest of our lives, whether that is short or long, in having a companion with Jesus Christ. How will we react to this point? Is the gift of God a companion to us? And he's with us under all circumstances and in all trials, a companion. Now we need the Lord to be this to us, otherwise we are deceiving ourselves. But we shall know if the Lord Jesus Christ is a companion to us. You will perhaps recall those words that we have in the Song of Solomon, where the question was asked, tell me, O thou, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest. And this is God's gift. We shall not feed anywhere. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, and where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Do we look at the people of God? Do we see them as companions of Jesus Christ? Have we a feeling in our soul that they might be our companions too? And if they are our companions, then May not Jesus Christ be our companion as well? So it goes on in the next verse. If thou know not how thou perest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. It is the gift of God. It is a great gift to know Jesus, know God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent, to know God. To know God as one that has loved you so well as to lay down his life to save you from hell. These then are great gifts. They're not to be despised. But if we are to receive them, we shall also have to remember this. The preparation of the heart and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. We need prepared hearts. In so saying, it is not my purpose to make things difficult, but it is my purpose to make you see that this great gift comes from God. And it is not only a gift to be received, but it is also a gift wherein you need preparation to receive it. To receive it. Not everybody will receive the gift of God. Sometimes it has been a very sad situation when I remember hearing of one man, one beggar that went to a door a few years ago now, and he wanted something to eat. So the housewife went inside, she said, just a minute, and she gave him some sandwiches. And she just looked at him going down the street, and he threw the sandwiches over the wall. He didn't want the sandwiches. He wanted money, no doubt, to spend on drink and so on. Now, you see, sometimes people receive Christ like that. It's not what they really want. The bread of life, they throw him over the wall. And blessed be God, if we have been preserved and prevented from throwing Christ over the wall. And though others may not see it, yet some keen eyes may see it, and God will see it, that after all, we weren't asking for Christ, you weren't asking for true bread, or you weren't asking for help at all. That was not the kind of help you wanted. So, what a gift is this, if God has prepared our heart in such a way as to make Jesus Christ so wonderful. Jesus Christ, my transport and my trust, yours to thee, are sordid toys, and gold is sordid dust. There's something very real about a religion that comes from God. A religion that is centered in the words of the text today, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Because if you cannot save yourself, you'll value somebody that can. And there's only one that can, and need I repeat it? And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. When you come to the end of yourself, when you can say, I'm lost, I'm living in a city of destruction. Everything that is round about me seems to press the nails even harder into me that you're lost. I must escape. Have you escaped from the world? Have you escaped from the world to come? By fleeing, remember, the people of God, they are fleers. If you turn to the Gospel according to Matthew, you will find in the third chapter, mention is made of the Lord's words to the Pharisees. And they came, you see, with others who felt that they would even like to be baptized and join with those that had true faith. And then this great question was asked, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You've come, you Pharisees, you want to join with the rest of the people, but who hath warned you to to flee from the wrath to come. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say unto yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Perhaps you know enough of yourselves to realize that if it was left in your hands, if it was not taken out of your hands entirely, it would not be long before you would boast of your own salvation and attribute your standing to your efforts and not to God's ability. So then, how much teaching there is as we go through life. And the people of God are learning all the time. They're learning this word, I might say, almost every day, if not every day. For by grace are ye saved through faith. If you look at yourselves, and only you know what you're thinking, what you're feeling, if you look at yourselves, and this verse comes to mind, for by grace are ye saved through faith, are you going to say, but I don't need that, I believe it, and yet your very walk, your way of living is such that it's very, very clear that you're taking advantage of God's grace and thinking you can abuse God's grace and that grace will still be over to you. Well, how solemn it is to be a hypocrite. How solemn it is to be numbered amongst those who put on an outside and claim to be one of the disciples of Jesus Christ and yet in reality are none of the sort. Very solemn do we read in John 6 of the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, but when he came to the real things of being united to Christ and of eating and drinking body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were offended and they went away and they walked no more with Jesus Christ. Now we shall need to search ourselves. Do you think that you will go away? It's not an impossibility, but it is an impossibility if you're bound up in the bundle of life. Whatever temptations may come, you just cannot give up. You've got to proceed. You've got to press on. You've got to the weight of the footstool of mercy. Oh God, be merciful to me. So, my works, I've had to throw them all away. There's nothing in me that can merit esteem or give my Creator delight. We must ever sing, because it soon seemed good in thy sight. As God may help me now, let me draw your attention to this great point, salvation. We must know our Saviour. We must know our Saviour. And how shall we know our Saviour? It will be because we have communion with our Saviour. And that communion is not, so to speak, in a crowd, but rather in an individual situation. The psalmist tells us in the 42nd Psalm, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? But it wasn't always like that. It wasn't always like that. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day, and on the outside I looked like just one of the other people of the people of God. But God put this the psalmist into a repining pot, so to speak. So he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. And this is the gift of God. hope now in God. And it was a good hope, and it was through grace. And it was a hope that has an end. Therefore I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And if any of you should feel demoralized, if any of you should feel that you're cut in two, if any of you should feel you're just going with the multitude, remember that the psalmist came back to this very important point where he cried unto God in his trouble. And there was the voice that spoke to him and said, "Hope thou in God." Mine's indeed a hopeless case, such it had been but for grace, but hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. Now, I cannot tell, of course, where your souls are at this present time, but if you should be at an extremity, oh, that God may prove to you that he has a favour toward you, that he's given you not only the gift of faith, but also the gift of hope, because you've got a hope which looks forward. And do remember that in another psalm, the psalmist says, "And thine expectation shall not be cut off." And what are you expecting? Are you expecting to be saved? And do you feel there's so much that militates against you, you wonder whether you'll be saved in the end? But God is not a man that he should lie, or the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he spoken, and shall he not do it? And hath he said, and will he not make it good? So, God is faithful in all things. And he will not suffer you to be tempted above as you're able. Blessed be God. If in all these things, these gifts, so to speak, are showered upon us of one kind and another, so that we believe in God, who is able to have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. I believe that one aspect of God's teaching is to make known to them their ignorance. Their ignorance. We may be great students of the truth, and yet we can still be ignorant. The many things that we do not know. Now we want to be thankful and mark out the things that we do know. You know, sometimes we find our dear friends in that place, "Oh, I don't know that, and I don't know the other," and so on. But you see, don't go up and count all the things that you don't know. Do consider the things that you do know. And there's one man in the scriptures, he said, "One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." Can you say, "One thing I know, that whereas I was blind and Jesus Christ meant nothing to me as my salvation, as my Saviour, yet now my eyes are opened and I can see that he is that one who is able to save me, even me, and deliver me from the power of Satan, from the attractions of the world, from the deceitfulness of my own heart. My eyes are opened. Now give thanks unto God as you recognize that God has given you a gift. He has given the gift of himself, but he's also given you the gift to see it, and also the gift to believe it. So, it is the gift of God. What a blessing to have God's gifts. And if we are to know God, if we are to rejoice in God, if we are to get to heaven, it will be all the result of God's gifts. God's gifts. And proceeding out of the power of God. It just comes into my mind what we read in the 5th of Galatians. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, patience, all God's gifts." All God's gifts. Love. Love of an unexampled kind is the love of Jesus Christ to every one of his disciples. As you know, if we have this realization of God's great gift in that way, we should be willing to love even those people that have striven against us, especially if we can see in those people the spirit of repentance, long-suffering, and we are called upon to suffer long in this way of life, in this way of tribulation. And also there was something that is remarkable, gentleness. Some people, of course, are of a more gentle nature than others. And it's a wonderful thing if your nature is not so gentle and you find from time to time that it does become gentle, and you have a compassion upon those that are out of the way, and you approach it with gentleness and not with a stick. So here you have a great evidence that God has given you a wonderful gift, and oh for faith to see it, and oh for grace to behold it as one of God's gift: goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. This is the point that we need to emphasize. If we see the favor of God, if we see the grace of God, if we see have that persuasion, yes, we know God. And you know this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. If we can see that, let us not boast in it, but rather let us feel deeply humbled of the grace that has been given, the gift of God which is bestowed upon us, where we can see, and not only see, but also feel the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, in that wonderful evidence of eternal life. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Whom to know is life eternal. So then, may we find, led by the Spirit of God, in thinking upon these great truths today, that our souls may be nourished. And even as we lay upon our beds this night, for by grace are ye saved, and God looks at you on your bed. By grace are ye saved, and you know how you feel, perhaps, sometimes. But God says, by grace are ye saved. And if you should raise all sorts of objections and say, I cannot see how I can be saved, yet God will repeat the same few words, by grace are ye saved. Look not to yourselves, but look unto me. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. By grace are ye saved through faith. And God does come to his people sometimes in the night time. Maybe some of you can recall a few occasions when on your bed at night, the psalmist did on one or two occasions, and perhaps you've done the same. And perhaps on those occasions you cried out to God and say, you're ruined, you're undone, I can't see how I can be saved. But God perhaps has countenanced all this by saying to you again and again, by grace are ye saved, not of yourselves, by grace are ye saved, by the gift of God given to you. Oh, what a wonderful favor and blessing is the gift of God to poor and needy sinners, lost in themselves, saved in the Lord, but an everlasting salvation. Oh, then, that we might consider and rejoice in this grace. It's sure, it's certain. It will not fail. And whenever we may be called upon to stand before God and be called out of this world, may we hear these words resounding in our ears, for by grace are ye saved through faith. So hinder ye me not, ye much loved saints. For I must come with you, and how blessed it is to stay with the heaven's gate in view, and see the glory of God there, and the saints of God, so to speak, with them, surrounding them, and the angels, and say, hinder me not, ye much loved saints, for I must come with you. It is my desire to enter into the holy place, into heaven itself, for there I shall see his face and never sin. There, from the rivers of his grace, drink endless pleasures in. May the Lord command his blessing, even life forevermore. And as we leave the house of God, may we not forget the subject that we have had before us today. Amen. Thank you.
We close with hymn 595, tune Waitland 771. Hymn 595, Free Grace, is the joy of my heart, its glories with wonder I trace. To me it does freely impart free rich blessings just suiting my case. No monster more wretched could be, nor less of God's favour deserve, yet such is free grace unto me. Hymn 595.
Thank you.
now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's love, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and ever. Amen.